now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. The breaking news late last night that the Big 12 told the Pac-12 to get lost, or is that just how it's being framed? Could this thing come around? It's kind of like the Kevin Durant deal, right? In July, it's not happening. Now that DeAndre Ayton has signed the dotted line, more on that in a minute, it is something that may be revisited later on. Maybe it's not tied into it. These things come and go. It's not a definitive pound the fist. No, we're never doing business with you, okay? This just may be the way of the Big 12 doing new business. What does ESPN want? Where does the ACC lie at in all of this? Who are the obvious candidates? Do Oregon and Washington definitely want out now? Where's the UCLA with the governor of California now going after UCLA? Would they not be allowed to potentially leave? All that with John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. You can read all John's content up on the website as well. It's sports360az.com. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. I am having a fine, fine day. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Meachie and their support. Taking care of you. Taking care of your business. You can do it all. That's a Desert Financial Credit Union. There's a lot, man, today. I think, to me, the most interesting story in sports today is Charles Barkley meeting with Greg Norman tomorrow in Atlanta about possibly joining the LIV. Not to play. But Charles is going to meet with Greg Norman tomorrow night in Atlanta. I was out yesterday listening to Sirius and their PGA radio channel, and Charles popped on there. The story's been out that he's going to talk with them, but it's the first time I've heard him go in depth. And the story yesterday during the day that broke of David Faraday leaving NBC, David Faraday opting out according to the New York Post, and David Faraday joining the LIV. And I got thinking, well, there's got to be more to it than just one guy. This is pretty smart on Greg Norman's part. Well, if I can't get all the golfers, and if the TV networks are just going to have their moving pieces say what they're going to say about the PGA Tour, not really give us a whole lot of interest or a whole lot of credit, then I'm just going to go find the biggest voices out there, and I'm going to throw a boatload of money at them. And whatever, and they can say whatever they want to say over here. And the golfers are going to play less. The announcers aren't going to have to be away as much. And so now Greg Norman's next step is to go get media. Gary McCord was on this segment with Charles yesterday, and Gary's a Valley resident. We've had Gary on the show a bunch. Thought about reaching out to him, but it's early. You know, there's a lot of steps here in the middle of summer to go over to LIV and say, what is the lasting impact? They're going to go get, they already have Faraday. If they go get Faraday, Charles, and Gary, because McCord admitted that they've spoken with him. The LIV has spoken with Gary. Gary's terrific. But could you imagine a show on or around the LIV golf tournament where Charles and Faraday and Gary McCord can say whatever the bleep they want? Because they have no holds barred. They don't have the PGA there where, and golfers come and say, oh, why are you getting on my case? Same thing with all, a lot of athletes go after announcers because they merely point out, yeah, he's in an 0 for 30 slump. Or he's not at a good game tonight. He shot 4 for 30. Oh, you're not in my corner. You're hating on me. No, pointing out the facts. What a great night. 3 home runs. 4 strike. I've been confronted by ball players. They'd come after me. Oh, I heard you said, and that's part of the deal in doing this. Don't want confrontation. Don't get into sports media. But in this day and age, you can go be a PR rep disguised as working for a network. So guys like Charles, like in Charles' deal, so I'm thinking about this. If he's going to meet with Greg Norman, Charles said openly, I'm meeting with Greg Norman in Atlanta for dinner on Wednesday night. Greg reached out to me a month earlier, and Greg said, let's get together. So they're going to get together. And I'm imagining what this dinner would look like. First of all, Atlanta. Okay. So all the media in the world is in Atlanta this week for the SEC Media Day. And as this story progresses, there's going to be people that are going to want to get in on where are they having dinner. What would be discussed over this dinner? Would it be things like you're going to have your own private jet wherever you want, whenever you want, whatever you want to do, however many events, so on and so on and so on? How would Charles handle it with all the people that he is a spokesperson for? Because let's be honest, if there's a sporting event on, Charles is pitching something. Not a criticism, it's a fact. So it doesn't matter if it's Dick's Sporting Goods or if it's Subway or whomever it is. You know, think of March Madness and when Charles is out there pitching insurance. So there's just all these side stories to it. Because in the LIV, they're firing people, the PGA is, that are going to the LIV. The golfers are being fired by those companies. So here all of a sudden, Charles has all this money he's making from these endorsements, and all those endorsements are going to say, we don't like part of this. Like taking a meeting and just hearing, that's really smart. It's really smart. There's no reason to not take the meeting. Always take the meeting. And so that story is fascinating to me. And just the fact that McCord and Faraday and Charles in a booth, you know, Cameron Smith wins the Clara Jug and it's out there now. The LIV is offering him $70 million just to jump. Just come over here and here's a check for $70 million. You're only going to have to play three rounds rather than four. You're only going to have to play in X amount of events. And then there's a side of it that has been out there quite a bit too of you're going into bed, it's blood money with Saudi Arabia. And you have to weigh that and the backlash to it. As Phil was upset, he was still being asked questions about it. It's going to happen wherever he goes, but will the noise die down? And in the court of public opinion, if David Faraday, who a lot of people like, and Charles Barkley, who's extraordinarily popular, and Gary McCord, those three guys, they move the needle. They jump over there all of a sudden. So it's a smart strategy by Greg Norman. And that's the main thing that's on my mind today. There's a lot of other stuff. Like, so the Pac-12, Big 12, I hear about this yesterday afternoon. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for now. That's where I'm at. It's July 19th. George Kolafkov is going to stand up at the podium a week from this Friday. We will be there in Los Angeles. I went back today, this morning, and I looked and watched. I'm going to talk to John Wilner about this. I watched the opening comments by the president of Oregon, Mike Schill, University of Oregon president, on May 13, 2021. If you want to do yourself something today to give you an idea of how celebrated this hire of George Kolafkov was, just go YouTube, opening comments. It's on YouTube. And hear what the president had to say May 13th, 2021, things like a consensus builder. This is the best for the future in the Pac-12. If we didn't hire Greg, we may have been competing against him. All these things that were being said 14 months ago. And now what is being said today where the Big 12 is like, read between the lines. We don't want you here. That's how it is. So I'm one of those. It's what's next. Maybe the Pac-12 should go on the offensive. Maybe the Pac-12 should go after some of these Big 12 schools and say, get over here. Just because they don't want us doesn't mean we can't take them. And if you're Oregon and Washington today, do you look at it and say, what exactly are we doing here? I'll bring it closer to home. I would think if you're an Arizona State and a University of Arizona fan today, you would really have to take stock in looking at your product, especially those of you that are just so over the top about the lack of respect and all this stuff. Well, I mean, nobody wants to be part of this right now, it seems. And so I know you're grasping on. I'm not picking on you. It's just a fact. So just relax when you're like, oh, we should be on the same field as Alabama. It would be a train wreck. It would. You know, I liked yesterday that the University of Arizona scheduled Duke in a home-and-home for basketball. That moves the needle. That is what I believe should happen, is the ACC and the Pac-12 and take a little bit of the Big 12 away. Go get Kansas basketball. Go get Kansas athletics for that matter. And guess what? U of A and Arizona State, there's one win for you because Kansas isn't good in football. But you're going to be in one of the conferences with the top team in the nation in basketball. It's a win-win. It really is. Not that hard. Go get BYU, OK? Okay, go grab BYU. Go look around the Texas schools, and if TCU or SMU want to come, bring them on board. Go get Houston and say to everybody else, we're good. We're good. All-Star game is tonight. Juan Soto wins the home run derby. He's probably worth now $500 million. If he said no to $450 million, like, here we go. Keeps going up. I'm interested that Kershaw's pitching. Some of you will say, oh, well, he's washed up. He's this, he's that. Forget about what he did last in his last start, which was great. It's what baseball needs to do. Baseball's got to try things. If it's a tie and they go to a home run derby tonight, one of the first things my wife said to me this morning, she's a sports fan. She'll watch anything sports related. She'll make me watch stuff sports related. First thing. Hey, so the All-Star game, so it ends in a home run derby. That's cool. That's what it takes. You're a diehard sports guy. You're watching me. It's great. We're all together on this, but there's not enough of us to move the needle. You've got to be far reaching. Be interesting tonight. See how it works out. Rodney Hudson's going to report to Cardinals camp. What a shock. Dead of summer. Nothing going on. Oh, I'm not there. It's the way it works. It's a slow season. We blow things. We make huge mountains to kill time and fill time. The biggest question with the Cardinals is what's Kyler Murray going to look like this season? He's going to get signed to an extension, I have to believe. I have to believe next week he'll be at camp. He's going to say all the usual nonsense. We're going to sit here in December 1 and say, okay, the season is starting, no matter what the record is. Okay, the season's starting. They're going to be good. They're going to be in contention for a playoff. There's extra teams that can make it. But it's really not that hard to sit here and lose sleep over the Cardinals. It's not. DeAndre Ayton, he says, it's a blessing. Of course he does. Of course. I'd say it's a blessing if I signed for 4 years, $133 million. It's a generational impact. Of course it is. Quote, focus, move on, get back to work. Of course he's going to say that. And again, I'll sit here and say, oh, let's see how things look around January 15th. Just because somebody signs a deal and just because they have a no trade, they can say where they want to go, they can direct where they want to go, doesn't mean we're going to be sitting here next April and everything's going to be great, or even next January. If you believe that, I am sorry to tell you, a lot of times in sports, what is being put out there is just stuff to pacify fans. I've had media companies that told me, you can come here, but you have to play by our rules, which is code for you can't be critical. That's not happening. That's why I've been doing this for 12 years. Please don't believe that all is great top to bottom. Yeah, there's stuff that gets missed. I'm sure there's a lot around this Big 12, Pac-12 story that's never going to come to the surface. But if you really believe that everything is great, as a fan, I guess that's what you do. I'm not. I just kind of sit here and look at all this stuff and say, okay. All right, just get back to me in December and see how the Cardinals are. Don't care what happens in September. Really don't care what happens in August. Like, August is the worst month of the sports calendar by far. Ayton's going to say all the right things. It's all the people around him. Eventually, it's like, well, you missed this endorsement in L.A. LeBron wants to get a team in Vegas. He said it. He wants to have a franchise in Vegas. He's probably going to get that done some way, somehow. He's going to come after young centers. He is. So I just, it's fascinating. It is. It's good stuff. John Wilner, speaking of fascinating, is next. So the Big 12 yesterday tells the Pac-12 to get lost. Or did they really? We'll get down into that, into the weeds with John Wilner. Wilner Hotline, that's next. As promised, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, plenty to get into with the Big 12 saying no thank you, or there's more to the story than meets the eye. Wilner Hotline, of course, you can follow him on Twitter and all of our social medias as well. We carry John's content, the Wilner Hotline, terrific. I want to start with YouTube, May 13th, 2021, Mike Schill, University of Oregon president, with opening comments using terms consensus builder. If we didn't hire George, we may be competing against him someday. What is in the best interest for the future of the Pac-12 is why we're here today. Okay, so here we are, July 19th, 2022. Those comments obviously are an abject failure, it looks like, on the surface. Or, John, with the news last night, yesterday, of the Big 12, Pac-12 not happening, Am I being too harsh here?
Well, I'm impressed with the research, first of all. You're actually using facts. You know, I don't know that you're being too harsh. The situation, it was a bad situation to start with, right? The years of presidential neglect, years of lagging revenue, all of those things kind of set the stage for what happened on June 30th, right? So now the Pac-12 is trying to cobble together the best option. I don't know. To me, some kind of alliance or merger with the Big 12 made a lot of sense. But I can also see why, you know, there's good reasons why it doesn't make sense. Same thing with the ACC and some kind of alliance there. I think we have to reserve judgment, right? Certainly the commissioner, the presidents, the athletic directors, they were completely in the dark about what USC and UCLA were doing, right? We don't know what was said in the boardroom leading up to that point. How many times did USC and UCLA leadership say, we're committed to the conference, you know, and at some point you got to take somebody at their word. Mm-hmm. But clearly the league was blindsided, and now we got to see how they put it together. But I think we got to reserve judgment for a few weeks or months.
Okay. But it is interesting to go back and look at that speech, because I had to do it this morning, and just the platitudes that were there. And I have to wonder, too, how much of this is just what we're hearing on the outside? Okay, so the Big 12, was it really the Big 12 saying, get lost, we're not interested in you? Because you know how things can be framed. So let's just start with that. Was this the Big 12 saying, no, we don't want any part of you, Pac-12?
You know, I don't know for sure who uttered those words first, whether it was the Pac-12 or the Big 12.
And that's important,
I mean,
John.
ESPN, a very credible reporter on that. But it also could be, I don't necessarily know that the Pac-12 was begging for some kind of merger. It could have just been, you know, the Big 12 was the first to say it, and the Pac-12 was going to get to that conclusion as well. We don't necessarily, you know those details, but you're right. There are a lot of things going on behind the scenes with realignment that never make it to the public sphere, right, and especially on social media. You have to be very careful what you believe.
So I'll just use this as an analogy here in Phoenix. So Kevin Durant comes to the Suns 1 hour, yes, 1 hour, no, next week, yes, next week, no. So I'll use the Pac-12, Big 12 here. Is this something where their commissioner is not even in place yet, at least legally, till August 1st? So is this just something, yeah, July 19th, it didn't work out, but cooler heads prevailed, all the usual verbiage that we hear in 6 weeks from now? Or do you think, Brad, come on, that train is shipped out. It's gone. It's not happening.
Mostly the latter. I do think, I mean, the Big 12's new commissioner has been totally on board. He was at their media day, right, you know, was that last week, I guess. So he's running the show there. I would just say I would be 95% sure that what ESPN reported is going to turn out to be true. But you just never know with realignment. What happens if ESPN or Fox, you know, rethinks things, something happens? You can't rule anything out with realignment until, you know, it's official or even beyond official, just because there's so many different layers between the TV networks, the coaches, trustees, regents, presidents, athletic directors,
governor.
It is really a multi-layered dynamic. So you never know.
Okay. So let's go to the governor, Governor Newsom. It's later this week, right, that there's going to be a meeting about UCLA bolting in the middle of the night, correct?
Yeah, Thursday. It's a closed session, so public won't have any access to it. But it is listed on the agenda as a discussion. And according to the University of California Regents, you know, procedures, there's not going to be a vote or action taken. And if something is listed as a discussion, they have to post, they have to go public before they're going to actually file a lawsuit, for instance. So I don't think we're going to get a resolution on Thursday. To me, it's probably a preliminary discussion on what their options might be. And I don't really know if they have good options to stop UCLA. There's, you know, the UC Office of the President says the campuses can make their own decisions. But at the same time, the regents can hire and fire the president and the chancellor. So, you know, I don't know. It's a very murky situation.
Is this a fly in the ointment, or is this just nothing?
It's California, so it can't be nothing, right? UCLA gets $320 million in state funding every year. You know, if the governor really is on his high horse about this and wants to do something, it could get ugly for the Bruins. But I don't know that Newsom is against UCLA being in the Big Ten, or if he's just was furious with the process and the lack of transparency. And those could end up being two different things.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Find all of his content at Wilner Hotline. Of course, we carry it on sports360az.com. We appreciate his time with so much going on. What is next is what everybody is asking. You've laid it out pretty thoroughly and with regularity that you believe San Diego State is going to be one of those targets. Do you believe that it is now beyond a target with this news yesterday?
You know, I don't think that the Pac-12 knows for sure that it's going to stick together and that expansion is the right option. I just think if they do decide that they're going to expand, San Diego State's a no-brainer to me, given the current landscape, which is very different than the landscape as of June 29th, right? A school that Pac-12 presidents would not have considered, you know, when they had USC and UCLA, now they need to seriously consider without any kind of tie to Los Angeles. But I don't know that they know if they're going to expand, right? They're still in the feeling out process with ESPN, Fox, and this thing could take months, right? We'll know something. If early August comes around and the exclusive negotiating window with Fox and ESPN expires and there's nothing, then we know they're taking their media rights to the open market, and it could be many months before this whole thing is decided.
And that's a gamble right now, right, John? I mean, for them, they could say, well, we could grab this, or let's go to the open market because we're going to have a solution, right?
They could. The thing is, though, ESPN could lowball them during the exclusive negotiating window.
So they will.
Right? ESPN has no motivation. You know, the only reason for ESPN to not lowball them and to give them a good offer is if they want to take the Pac-12 off the table for somebody else, whether it's Apple or CBS, whatever. I don't know that the Pac-12 is worth taking off the table right now. So ESPN could come in with a lowball offer during this exclusive window. Then the Pac-12 goes out and, you know, things get real in the, on the marketplace in, you know, August and September.
Just because the Big 12, these are questions I'm getting asked by fans. So if some of them seem out of left field, and for me too, they're out of left field, but fans are wondering if it's time for the Pac-12 to go on the offensive and go after some of the Big 12 schools, even though the Big 12 has said, yeah, we don't want to partner with you. Well, maybe it's time for the Pac-12 to go after some of those schools and say, get over here.
Well, I mean, that's certainly an option to pursue. It would be a raid on the Big 12, right? And especially if you're talking about TCU and Houston, you know, because you want to get into Texas and maybe BYU, those schools would be probably at the top of the list. I absolutely think Pac-12 has considered that. Whether it's doable or not, I don't know. That would depend on, you know, to a large extent on what the numbers are that ESPN provides it, right? ESPN and Fox are running the numbers and saying, you know, here's your media rights under scenario X, Y, Z, and they could make a, you know, they could make a charge at one of those Texas schools. There's no doubt.
Okay. Where does the ACC stand in all of this? The Grantin rights has been talked about over and over and over these last 2 weeks. It seems to me that they could get out of that if enough schools within the conference said, we want to get out of this deal, but I could be wrong. Is there still a possibility of ACC Pac-12, John?
There is. And I think that the possibility is regardless of the grant of rights situation, right? The ACC schools are bound until 2036, but they can make something work with the Pac-12 with ESPN as the conduit without opening their grant of rights package. ESPN could just fold the Pac-12 network into the ACC network, promise the ACC schools, you know, X number of millions more per year without actually opening the grant of rights and causing some kind of exodus from the conference. So I think that's the most likely scenario if there's a deal with the ACC, is that the ESPN just basically gives them more money without changing the contract.
With the news yesterday, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 not able to get together, what happens with Oregon and Washington now? Do they put the pedal to the metal to get out? Do they stick with it?
Well, you got to have a place to go if you want out, right? I mean, Oregon and Washington, to me, are the most fascinating aspect of this, because they don't want to sign any kind of long-term deal with the Pac-12 because they're holding out hope that the Big Ten is going to come calling in a couple of years. So the Pac-12's got to get creative. Maybe you give them an out in 2 years. You say, all right, sign up for 10. We'll give you an out if the Big Ten offers you an invitation. That would at least get them to commit in the short term. But what they do is going to really have a lot of impact on where the conference goes, whether it sticks together or, you know, a lot of schools end up joining the Big 12.
Okay. Your biggest takeaway from the news yesterday, moving this story and advancing it forward, you and I get together about once a week right now because of everything going on. What's your biggest takeaway? Where do you think this leads?
I just think it kind of reinforces to me as much sense as at least on the logistical level, a Big 12, Pac 12 combination makes. I think there's a pretty good chance the Pac-12 is just going to stay together, right? And I don't know if that's staying together at 10 or staying together at 12, but I think most of the schools, if not all of them, want a good reason to stay together, including the Arizona schools. They're looking for a reason for the 10 schools to stay together. And the question is whether they get that reason. To me, that the news last night kind of reinforces that thinking.
That is John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. You can find all this content. Go over to Twitter. You can follow him at Wilner Hotline. Of course, it's on sports360az.com. John, stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brett.